It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. Hopefully something has opened there, but I still know where she is, as probably do the rest of the listeners. She is in Switzerland, near Zurich, I believe. She'll tell me if I'm right. Hi, Mirella, how are you?
Hi, absolutely right. And as always, here for quite a time now, I'm sure. And that's why I'm also going to begin our weekly conversation with the news from Switzerland. Because, as you know, as you all know, European countries have begun now to open up a little bit according to the different numbers in the different countries, but mainly in Europe, all the cases are going down. And to give an example concerning Switzerland, we had 88 more cases on Sunday. On Monday, we had another 76 more cases. And on Tuesday, we had 28 cases. So 28 cases in 24 hours is definitely a very, very good number. The total was until now about 30,000, and fatalities were until now 1,483. So this means, in other words, that the situation is now under control. That with having only 28 new cases the last past 24 hours, it will be possible to go back to the beginning of the pandemic, when it was still possible to test, trace, and isolate, which is definitely the strategy that is going to be now put into place. That also means that a few more things will be possible. We began already this week with opening hair salons and shops like garden centers, on top, of course, of all the supermarkets where you were able to buy groceries all along. It will be possible as of the 11th of May to open certain schools, I believe the primary school first. Then it will be also possible to open restaurants with a lot of restrictions. This is not just a blank check. As I said already last week, tables have to have a certain distance between them. It is only possible to sit for an amount of four people. Those four people have to know each other. So this is not a situation where you can get somewhere and just, you know, begin a nice conversation and sit down with someone. That is not possible. It's four people that know each other, because if there is a reason to think that someone has been infected, then it is extremely easy to contact trace and isolate. After that, there will be some openings also with certain sports and ultimately maybe more, but until the end of August, one can say for sure that there won't be big gatherings. So I don't think there will be big sport events, no music festivals, no fairs, anything that attract thousands and thousands of people is for the moment just not possible. So it's beginning very slow, very small, but at least it's beginning somewhere. This is also happening in other countries in Europe, like, for example, Germany, or Italy or Spain. France, the numbers in France are still not convincing enough to go that route. Therefore, they are going to be in a lockdown a little bit longer. But Europe, generally speaking, including also all the northern countries, is slowly opening up. That doesn't mean that the borders are opening up. It is still not possible to travel in the Schengen area as before. In order to enter a country, you basically need to be a resident of that country. Otherwise, it's just not possible yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if around June, if there is no second wave and if the numbers continue to be good, that the borders could be slightly open. The idea being, of course, to save at this point the tourism industry that is suffering a lot from all these lockdowns and restrictions. And while it might not be possible to go very far next summer, it's maybe, but this remains a maybe, going possible to travel across Europe. That is really all dependent on the numbers and on the so-called second wave. That is still a very big fear of every country in Europe and everywhere else, I believe. What I looked at a little bit more carefully, because I thought it was relevant, are which countries are doing best right now and how many people live in those countries. Because I think if we look at the numbers, it's actually very significant. For example, if we take the northern countries in Europe, we take Norway, 5 million residents, Finland, 5.5, Sweden, 10. Those are the ones that have residents, but less than other countries. Switzerland has 8.5 million residents. And if we look outside of Europe and we take a country like New Zealand, who, for example, had zero cases in 2 days, which is really a great success, New Zealand has 4.9 million. So I would say that all these countries are doing fairly well. Of course, they also have their fatalities, and this is not to be underestimated. But they remained in numbers that are definitely more manageable. Let's think, for example, now of countries like China, who has 1.3 billion residents, or India, 3 billion residents, or the US that has 328 million. So all these countries have definitely a much larger group of people to contain, and I think that in a way we can see that also in the numbers concerning COVID-19. Surprisingly, though, some of those countries that have so many residents, like China, like India, like Russia, their numbers are not as one would expect. For example, China officially has 84,400 84,000 cases. Russia, 155 cases, 1,000 cases. India, only 31.9 cases, 1,000 cases, sorry. This sounds really, really very little compared to the US with 1.2 million cases. So the question is, of course, those are official numbers, numbers that are given to the press and to different reports. There is always the question of course, the accuracy of these numbers. But if one look very general, in a very general manner, it is definitely possible to see that countries, small countries, have an easier way to deal with this pandemic. To come back to Europe, for example, if you take the countries that have more residents, like the United Kingdoms with 66 million people, or Italy with 60 million people, or France with 67 million people. These three countries, for example, are very, very similar in terms of people living in the countries. It's all between 60 and 67 million. Those three countries have been the one struggling the most, with Spain as well. So one sees that there is definitely a relation between the smaller countries and the bigger countries, because in a very simple manner, it is always easier to deal with something that is small rather than large. Now, it is, I think, good news this week to know that the lockdowns all over of Europe are not as strict anymore, and that a few things are permitted. I would say that concerning the mood of people, from what I could see around us, it is definitely not enough. It is very difficult to envision a life where everybody wears a mask, where you keep 2 meters distance between people, where there is almost no social interaction possible. And I would say that it only highlights even more the fact that before the pandemic, there was maybe for a lot of people already a certain difficulties in meeting other people, in having a social life that was not restricted to the social media online. And a pandemic of this sort is definitely highlighting even more the kind of isolation and loneliness that many people are suffering from at the moment. So I would say that besides the fact that the virus can be deadly, this is one big fear. Then I would say people are afraid of the economic situation, which is very worrisome everywhere. And as a very close third point, I would say that the mental health of many people is in danger. Because this new way of living might be one where it's possible to go outside and have some fresh air. It's definitely not how human beings usually interact, and I would say as a conclusion that the biggest fear, of course, is that if no real treatment or if a vaccine takes longer than predicted, then this is a new way of life that might last longer than predicted at the beginning. And I feel from all the conversations around us that this is definitely a big worry for all of us. So that's it for this week, and stay safe.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.